Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Hey guys, welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. My name is Ryan.
And this is Dak.
And welcome back. We missed a week. We apologize, but we are back on schedule. Kind of, because we're actually a day late. Should have dropped this yesterday. But yeah, we're back. We're back.
Yeah.
And we're just chilling. We're just having a very relaxed and casual conversation time.
Yeah, tonight is maybe coffee talk.
A little sidewalk chatter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just hanging out and wanting to have a Disney conversation. So, speaking of
Disney.
Wow. So, obviously you're getting this information, or this podcast is dropping the day after, but the big news of Disney today is that they announced they are going to open a brand new theme park in Dubai.
Dun, 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 dun. Abu Dhabi.
What's the difference between Abu Dhabi and Dubai?
Two separate cities.
Okay.
About an hour and a half apart.
Okay. Yeah. I did not know that.
So I believe, and I could be 100% wrong, I believe Dubai is more of a cosmopolitan type city, where Abu Dhabi may be more of the conservative
vacation
Western family friendly.
Oh, okay.
So I think Universal has a park there. SeaWorld has a park.
Yep. Yeah, so it's it's interesting. So it's going to be one of those co-owned, I guess you could call it, but funded primarily by this other third-party company. Can't remember the name right off the top of my head. I should have had that right in front of
Malar,
me. Malar.
Something like that.
And,
begins with an M.
Yeah. And it's gonna be kind of a new thing. They're not going to, from what... Very little information. That's the interesting thing, is actually very little information. They didn't give a deadline as far as when this is actually going to happen. They just said the 2030s, which could mean anything. Early 2030s is what I've heard.
Yeah. Well, that's not a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they said it's not going to be just a carbon copy of Disneyland, even though they're going to call it Disneyland. It's not going to be like Tokyo, where they went and just literally carbon copied Disneyland into Tokyo. So it'll be interesting. I'm optimistically hopeful.
I imagine it's going to be spectacular.
Yes.
With the amount of money that's out there. And I mean, if you look at some of the, I did see it, watch a documentary on the SeaWorld.
Oh, really?
Park out there.
Okay.
And it's state of the art. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I imagine in that part of the world, with all the other entertainment venues that are in that part of the world to pull your attention and get your money, you better bring your A game.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think they will.
And
Yeah. It'll be amazing. And I did see I read an article, and I was a little surprised. I mean, Abu Dhabi.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is
an entertainment. I mean, it's a, like I said, very wealthy area, you know, highly concentrated. I mean, the weather is going to be a little bit warm.
Yeah.
Which is why they had, like, the SeaWorld Park, I think most of it is indoors.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it'll be mostly indoor park. Anyway, but I found this interesting that 30 to 40% of vacationers from that region live within a 3 to 4 hour radius of.
Oh, wow.
Of Abu Dhabi.
So I imagine.
It makes sense that Disney would put a park out there.
And I will say Disney has a great track record of a park that is funded by someone else.
Oh, yeah.
And then you just insert Imagineers with their blue sky, you know, world where they can just create whatever they want to with no
kind of
budgetary.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah,
I mean, they're going to take that oil money that's out there and, you know.
It should be amazing.
Yeah.
It should be amazing.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, that's about all we have on that.
Yeah, yeah. That's because that's really all there is.
Yeah. The concept art looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it does. Again, even the, if you've seen projects in the past when they've released the concept art, you're like, oh, that's actually pretty specific. This was very vague.
Yeah, very.
Like a Picasso painting. Just
almost blurry.
To a degree. So
yeah, for sure.
Anyway. Well, hey, real fast, before we get to the topic, I mean, let's defend Disney for a second.
Okay.
Okay. epic universe. Okay, for all the things that have come out,
yeah,
it looks amazing. It absolutely looks amazing. But recently,
yeah.
And here's my deal. Here's my deal with Epic Universe. I think when they announced Epic Universe like 5-6 years ago, and since it's opened, you have a lot of the anti-Disney people,
yeah,
who are like, I can't wait to see Disney fail. I can't wait to see Universal take over the theme park majority in Central Florida. Blah, 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 blah. And what has happened over the past week?
Yeah, a lot of shade. A lot of shade has been thrown on Epic Universe. In fact, I saw a thing where they ask Josh DeMaro. DeMario?
Yeah.
I can't ever say this right now. Yeah. Even just recently, like within the last week or two, because that's how long it's really been, you know, premiering and opening up some, you know, some specific openings to different people. Anyways, and Josh was like, nah, we're not worried about it. I mean, he shut it down right away. He's like, when people come to Orlando, they're coming for Disney. They're not coming for anything else.
And for me, the fact that you already have people who are throwing out social media videos and YouTube videos, seven things not to do at Epic Universe. Oh, the five things that are disappointing at Epic Universe. Now, again, we haven't been, and it looks amazing. We will go eventually, because I think, you know, they've talked about some of the attractions being the best attractions ever created.
Yeah.
But you start just hearing things about, maybe, you know, like there's no shade.
That's the biggest thing that I've heard, is that you're going to bake.
You're going to bake. And how they went full tilt opposite, because you go to the Islands of Adventure and Universal Orlando, and the food is a little lacking, other than like in the Harry Potter world, right?
Yeah.
Well, I saw that, this new park, they have completely gone full tilt opposite of, now everything seems to be kind of gourmet, super pricey. Like, where are your chicken fingers and hot dogs? Well, you're not going to find that at Epic Universe, which again, I don't like chicken fingers and hot dogs. I'm okay with that. But again, I think we should just tone down the Disney's going to get railed with this new park. And I think, no. Disney's going to be they're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
They got these new projects opening up here in a few years. Disney's going to be just fine. Again, not taking away anything from Universal. I love Universal. Can't wait to go see the new
park. You're a season pass holder.
Yeah, we're pass holders to Universal. Yeah, we were just there. So actually, I was just telling you, maybe next week, releasing an episode, my wife and I, just a trip recap from
our
last trip there. So should be pretty fun. But anyway, lots of love to Universal, but let's calm
it's
down.
Interesting.
On, calm down on the Disney's going to go bankrupt talk, right?
For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Anyway, you got the topic.
Well, tonight's topic, I just thought we'd, again, very casual. We just kind of got together and thought, well, what can we talk about? And I thought, well, what might be interesting is to do three of our top do's. Like, you got to do these things if you're going to Disneyland, Disney World, any Disney park. And then maybe our top three don'ts. Don't do these things. Like, these will surefire ways to, you know, probably have a bad vacation if you are doing these things. So,
okay.
Let's maybe start with the don'ts. Start negative and end on a positive.
Okay, right? I like it.
So, my first don't is don't wing it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't wing it.
Okay.
So,
and we've talked about this a lot.
Yeah, we've talked about this a lot. So, do some planning, do some research. You know, it's funny because I'm constantly on, I shouldn't say constantly, but when I'm on Facebook or Instagram or anything,
with the number of reels that you send me throughout the day, I often wonder how long, you know, how much time you spend on.
Yeah. So
I'm just messing with
you. But I have, obviously, most of my feed is about Disney. Yeah. And it's amazing to me how many people continue to ask the question about weather, about costs, about reservations.
Yeah.
Like, and I have just recently, again, I've shared this story before, and I have more family members that are literally calling me the week before they're headed to Disneyland, you know, peppering me with questions about how do we do this? How does this work? Like, I'm just telling you, if you will just do a little research, have a little planning, you know, and figure out how it works, My suggestion is, if you don't know, get a travel agent. Like, they're free. If you get a good one, they're going to walk you through all that. So just don't wing it, people. It's going to be a Disney vacation is like going to Rome or going to Paris or London or one of these marquee locations. And I know people may hear that and roll their eyes and be like, whatever. There's a lot of planning that needs to go into a Disney vacation.
Sure. So I kind of liken that to, on a very scaled down example, planning your dinners. Like if it's 5:30 at night and you're like, hey, what's for dinner? Oh, well, I don't know. We didn't plan it. You're either going to have PB&J sandwiches, which there's nothing wrong with PB&J sandwiches.
Right.
Or you're going to overspend and go get some takeout.
Yeah.
When you've got food in the fridge.
Right.
You just didn't plan it.
Yeah.
Right? So.
For sure. No, I like it. And I think a lot of people end up not planning, not knowing that going to Disney during Christmas or spring break or some of these other high crowd calendar times. And then I've heard you complain about this, and then they come back and say, well, it was awful because we waited 3 hours in line for, you know, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or whatever, right? And it's like, well, yeah, of course you did, because you went the week of Christmas. It's going to be busy and you failed to plan. And so that's not on Disney.
And I think you, if you plan, you can go during those busy times.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you have a strategy and you plan it out.
Some people can't get time off or their kids are in school. Right, so that's the only time they can go. But to your point, if they plan and have a strategy, then you can go during the week of Thanksgiving or the week of Christmas. Is it going to be busier? Yes. But if you're planned, you can make things happen.
Yes.
You can make it magical.
You can make it happen. All right. Number two, don't.
Okay.
Don't try to do everything.
Oh, 100%.
So this is the biggest don't I think I would ever put out there is I see people all the time trying to just cram all of Disney in, you know, 2-day experience at Disneyland or a 4-day experience at Disney World, and they want to do everything there is to experience at these places. And it just, you're setting yourself up for a colossal fail, in my opinion. Because, and you're just going to wear yourself out, right? Like, you're just going to drive your spouse crazy, your kids crazy. I understand that there's a cost factor here and there's a, we want to get our money's worth. But man, when you try to do everything, it's going to backfire.
And I think, you know, and I talked about this after our spring break trip, how we opted to do the 2-day park hopper pass because we thought we could get everything in that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And we got back and we're like, you know what? We would have been probably happier just doing 1 day at Magic Kingdom, doing everything we wanted to do there, and then the next day doing Epcot and doing everything we wanted to do at Epcot, as opposed to trying to cram in Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom into this very short 2-day trip. Because you forget sometimes, you know, when you park hop, like, it just, everything just takes time.
Yes.
Like, it's not a condensed park. You can't walk from park to park like you can at Disneyland. You got to get in your car. You got to take a tram. You got to take the monorail. You got to take a boat. You know, it just takes time. And I think this is a great don't. And I think you'll just have a much more enjoyable trip.
And I think it's easy. I think it's easy to get into this no matter what your scenario is. And what I mean by that, if you're a rookie or this is our second or third time going, again, you get in that trap of like, okay, we're spending a lot of money on this, and so we're going to get our money's worth. I think the flip side of that coin is for people like you and I, we've been multiple times, and so we're like, oh, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, and that was a great experience last time, so I want to get this food again. And if your time is limited there and you're trying to do everything, you run into the scenario like what you were describing a minute ago, which is, guys, we're just going to have to pick our top 2 or 3 must-dos, do those things, and anything else is bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Final don't of our top 3 don'ts. don't forget to take a midday or midweek break. So 100%. This is, again, it's kind of in line of like trying to do everything. I think, again, your mindset is we're spending so much money on this vacation. We're spending so much money per day on things. And so to the idea of going back to the hotel midday, taking a pool break, you know, getting off your feet, kind of recharging the batteries, just it's very hard for a lot of people to want to do because the dollar signs are cranking in their minds, right? It's like ching, 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 right? While I'm just sitting here. And my wife's thing is like, well, I don't want to sit around a hotel all day. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is you go back, you take a little nap, get off your feet, get in some AC. Taking a midday break can look different. It doesn't have to be a pool break or a hotel break. It could be going to a restaurant or a sit down in the AC where you can just kind of like, hey, instead of like rushing through lunch, right, and gobbling it all down, let's just take a minute and chill and like relax, right? Now, what I will say is if you're going to Disney World or Disneyland for that matter, I mean, you chime in here, but in my opinion, I think about the end of day two, your body, your feet, your legs, they're done. Like for me personally, I don't know endurance stick is. I don't know what the right word is there, but for me, level. Yeah, your conditioning, yeah. Your Disney conditioning. I don't think that's the thing is I don't think people put together how much walking, standing, it just takes a toll. And so for me, by about the end of day two, I'm like, okay, I need a day off. Like I need a day where I'm not putting in 10 to 15 miles. I'm not standing around for hours at a time on hard asphalt and all that stuff. So anyways,
no, I think you're 100% right. I think I kind of like this rule of thumb for every 2 days in the park, you take a day.
Totally.
You take a break. So if you're there for, you know, a 4 day trip, you take a day in the middle. If you're there for a 6 or 7 day trip, 2 days on, 1 day off.
Yeah.
You know, and I even like the idea now, and this is something that I've never really embraced, but until recently, whereas you take the, you book in your trip with break Ooh, days. So you, I maybe like you, that. Maybe you're vacationing Saturday to Saturday, right? You arrive Saturday.
It's an off day.
It's an off day. Yeah. You go Sunday and Monday, take Tuesday off. Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, maybe you're at the parks. No, I'm sorry. Wednesday and Thursday, you're at the parks. And Friday, that day before you go home, you're off.
Yeah.
You allow your body to recover because, I mean, you've said it. Like, there's no tired like Disney tired. And there's nothing right. worse than like going to Disney, having a great time, being freaking exhausted, and then coming home. I got to get to work in the morning and I've put in 100,000 steps over the past week.
Yes, yes.
And I got to get up at 6:30 and I am not looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Book in your trip with a couple days off.
I like that.
That's not a bad idea. So, yeah, because we're used to walking what the recommendation is 10,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
You're double that.
Oh, every easily.
Day.
Yes.
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easily.
Yeah.
Every day. All right. So those were our don'ts. Let's get into some of our do's.
Pretty commonsensical.
Yeah. Don'ts. Again, but yeah. Easy to fall easy into the trap of doing those things.
Absolutely.
All right. So our first number one do. I'm sad to say this, but I think it's become a must. And that is do get the lightning lanes.
Oh.
Like do purchase lightning lane.
Okay.
So I have finally come around. I've fought it because I've seen it as a nickel and dime thing that Disney does that used to be free, and it just irked me every time that I would buy Lightning Lane. But I think I've come around to the point where it's almost need to be baked into your cost of your tickets. Is you're just always going to get Lightning Lane.
Yeah.
It's that beneficial to me when I'm, no matter how long I'm there, whether I'm there, you know, 4 days, 5 days, whatever, 2 days at Disneyland or whatever, I'm going to always bake in the cost of a lightning lane. Not happy about paying it, but I think it's just one of those things you got to do at this point because it allows you to do so much more.
Yeah. No, I 95% agree with that. I think the 5% of me, again, going back to our spring break trip, it was very crowded. And for us, it wasn't financially, it didn't make a lot of sense to, because again, just based on what we were seeing on the app, the wait times, you know, we got to the point of, okay, let's select our traveling party. And you get, you know, they give you the options, choose your lightning lanes before you even purchase.
Yeah.
And we're looking at the times and we're like, we're about to throw down $200 and we're only going to get three, maybe four. And some of those, like, I mean, I don't need to pay $200 for my family to get in line at Peter Pan or at Pirates, because those waits are only 30 to 45 minutes. It's not that bad.
I think that's where it's hard. So I will agree with you on that. That's tough when you see wait times that are manageable to justify. That's when it can, buying that lightning lane can really start to get on your nerves.
I mean, I agree with you. I think whenever we do our guys trips, we're always getting lightning lanes. I think if you're with, as a family, if you're there, you know, and throwing down the money for your family is not a big deal, go for it. And I Disney, I agree with you. Like, it used to be free. It used to be free, and it used just to make sense. Like, you just get your three fast passes and maybe throw a fourth or a fifth one in there. Right. It just was like so very nonchalant. Just, it was part of the day. And now, dude, it's become this stressor.
No, I agree.
You know?
I agree. And so not to, you know, poo-poo my you got to do this idea, but it does force you to be on your phone a lot more and be a little bit more strategic and all that thing. So that's the probably the negative part about it, is that as much as I think it's a necessity, it's kind of a what do they call that? A
necessary evil.
Yes, there you
go. No, and again, like I said, 9 times out of 10, I think you're right on spot there. And I would even say too, listen, if you can afford it, maybe even upgrade to the Premier Pass, where you get all the lightning lanes at the park, not just the 3 or 4 or 5 that you may get, but you get them all.
Yeah,
you know, and if this is your one trip to Disney for the next 10 years, and you're going to be there for 5-7 days, and you're like, we're going to go all out, man, get the Premier Pass.
Yeah, man,
you don't have to worry about all the other stuff we just talked about. But anywho, no, it's a good number one.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. I think it's, you know, like I said, for 9 out of 10 times, it's going to be necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Our do number two. okay, here we go. We've said this a bajillion times on this podcast.
This isn't all food?
No.
Oh, okay.
Set proper expectations and be flexible.
Yeah.
So I comboed those together because I couldn't decide which one I liked better, whether it's setting the proper expectation or being flexible. But I think they kind of go hand in hand, so I'm going to just loop them in together, which is just simply this. Like, you got to approach Disney with a realistic expectation, right? And realistic view is what
you're not going
to
lie on the beach somewhere.
No. Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's so many different factors to go into it. I think the biggest thing is, like, with children, right? Especially little ones. So my experience is this: you're pulling them out of a structured environment of school and all of those things, right? You're taking them to an overstimulated, you know, beautiful park that has characters and princesses and castles and fireworks.
It's like if you dropped your kids in a pool of sugar.
Yeah. And like, then, right. And then that's the other part, is like, you're pumping them full of food that is not part of their normal diet. You know, churros and ice cream and all these things that are just overstimulating them. And then you don't expect there to be some sort of fallout to that. Yeah. Or at least that was my first few years of going, right? I couldn't imagine that my children would be upset or crying or having a tantrum at the most wonderful place on earth, because they were in the most wonderful place on earth. But the reality is, you do. And you see it all the time, right? I see parents have meltdowns because it's hot, you're spending money, you want to make it worth it, like all these things, right? And so
You see more and more parents fighting now. What's up with that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just going to happen. There's going to be meltdowns. There's going to be tantrums. There's going to be moments you have to take that break that we talked about. There's going to be ride closures. There's going to be weather issues. I mean, it's funny. Again, we talk about these Disney sites, and one lady posted, she's like, I'm so bummed. It's going to rain all week next week in Florida. I'm like, yeah, welcome to Florida. And that's what all the comments were. Welcome to Florida. It rains here every day. It's going to rain for 30 minutes and then it's going to clear out. All these things, right? But if you don't set that expectation in your mind and you go, again, you're going to have a horrible trip. So just be flexible. Be willing to roll with it. If Dumbo closes down, don't freak out. It'll open back up. It's Dumbo, right? Like, yeah. Just roll with the punches and be flexible.
Unless you're on the ride and it breaks down and you can't get off, then you might be able to freak out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else on that? I mean, we talk about this all the time. Yeah. You have to set proper expectations. If your kids have limitations physically, emotionally, whatever, you have to bake that into your plans. Or else it's going to be a horrible trip for you.
Yeah, I don't have anything else. I think we've hit on that so many times, and I think it's, to me, it's just so obvious. Setting your expectations.
Yeah,
for a trip like that. So
for sure.
Anyway,
all right. Our last do.
Número tres.
Yes. Do let your guard down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I thought about this one long and hard, and I came across a quote from Walt Disney, the man himself. Okay. And he says,
do I need to play some background music here?
Maybe a little soft melody, little Disney melody. He says, that's the real problem with the world. Too many people grow up. And so this is to all you dads out there. Don't be grumpy.
Yeah.
Don't this is the most wonderful thing about Disney.
Yeah.
Is they've created a place where it's okay to let your guard down. It's okay to be a kid again and have fun with your kids and the people you love, right? You're there in the happiest place on earth. So let your guard down. Yeah. Put on the goofy hat with the goofy ears coming off your head. You know, don't be that grumpy guy with his arms folded, frowning the whole time. Dude, just try it. Like, let it go.
No pun intended.
Pun intended, right? But just that's my last do, is like, just have fun. Give it a shot, right? I know it's not the most macho thing to do or the most manly thing to do, you know, but throw your hands up in the air and wave them like you just don't care and have fun on that roller coaster and, you know.
Well, you're dating yourself there, Dak.
Enjoy it, right? Like, well, that's my thing.
I think we always have to remember how these parks started in the first place. It's because Walt Disney would take his, like, Saturdays were daddy-daughter days, right? And Walt was just like, why can't I go anywhere with my kids and us be able to enjoy this together?
Yeah.
Go to these county fairs or these other amusement parks, and yeah, the kids are having a good time, but the park is dirty, and I want to join them on the merry-go-round or the carousel. Like, well, you know what? I'm going to just build my own park. That way, parents and kids can play together. And that's, I think this is a great one to end on. Is like, and you see it when you go to the parks. You see the parents that are like, I'm here to have fun.
Yeah. And you can see. Oh, I thought you were saying the grumpy ones.
Well, you see those too. You see the grumpy ones too.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I love it. When I see the dads getting into it.
Oh, yeah.
You go to Enchanted Tales with Belle, and the dads are playing along with the, you know, with the story of Belle and the castle. Yep. And then you see him dancing and just, it's great. It's great.
And I wish more people would embrace that before, you know, understand before they get there.
Yes.
Because sometimes they get there and they're like, oh, it's, you know, it's costing us $2,000 a day to be here. But by the end of the trip, they're like, eh, this was fun.
Yeah.
This was worth it. You're going to get there. You might as well start on the first day.
Yeah. That's right? A good point, man.
It's hard to go and not feel something. Now, there's always the caveat. You get there, it's 95 degrees and it's raining, and the rides are broken down. Well, if that happens 5 days in a row, maybe you're a little shaded with that.
That would
make sense. But generally speaking, you can always find the good in these bad situations, right?
Yeah.
I think, you just go there with the expectation, hey, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to let my guard down.
Yeah.
I'm going to dance around the parade. I'm going to, get a little teary-eyed during Happily Ever After.
That's right.
And I think that's just, I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
That's a great tip.
So that's it. Those are our three do's and our three don'ts. I'd be curious to hear other people's thoughts. What are your must do's and your must don'ts?
Yeah. I want to give a quick shout out too. We actually got a comment on Instagram this past week, and they, and I can't remember the, nobody puts their real name on their Instagram.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, I think you know who you are, but you commented that you appreciated the episode where we talked about the six things you should do at
Epcot.
At Epcot.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you listening. We appreciate the feedback. And I think this goes along with it. Give us some feedback. Go on Instagram and let us know how we're doing and what you want to listen to, what you want to hear. And, I think if you're on Apple, give us a review.
Yeah, we'd love to hear.
We love those reviews, and they help the show grow.
Absolutely.
This is a free show. We don't charge any money for it. Nobody's paying us to do this.
Yeah, no.
Not even close.
Yeah. Hey, quick magical scenario. Just as we talked about Abu Dhabi. I always want to call it Agrabah or something from Aladdin, right? Okay, so let's roll back the clock. It's 24 hours ago or whatever, I guess 48 in this case by the time you're hearing this. And they come to you and they say, Ryan, we're gonna give you the reins. You can put a park anywhere in the world.
Ooh.
We're thinking about Abu Dhabi, but you tell us, Ryan, where do you want to put the next Disney park?
Well, being that we're in Texas, I'd love to see one in Texas.
Man, me too.
Man, San Antonio would be great.
It would. I think San Antonio would be warm enough. It's got not as humid as
not
Houston.
As humid, and you're far from the hurricanes.
Yeah. And Texas is nice because it's right in the middle of the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody not from Texas is going to be like, oh boy, here's the Texas guys telling us about how great Texas is. But in reality, I mean, it's just nice that it's in the center of the United States. You're not going to one coast or the other.
Yeah.
Makes it an easy travel location. So yeah, that's where I was going to go is obviously a hometown.
Yeah.
Texas would be great.
You can't put it anywhere where there's going to be, I think a place that has very good weather. I mean, Tennessee is still going to get hot.
Yeah.
But they get snow.
Yeah.
So maybe that wouldn't work, even though Disneyland Paris gets snow. Dude, honestly, Abu Dhabi, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of one of the places in the world where, you're not getting to Shanghai or China unless you're pretty much in that Asian continent area, right? Same thing with Tokyo and same thing with Europe, right? Those are not easy trips to make if you're coming from the United States. But if you're coming from London, dude, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump over to Disneyland Paris.
And I'm sure if we have any South American listeners, I'm sure we get some Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
Rio de Janeiro, maybe São Paulo, Brazil. A lot of Brazilians love Disney.
And Argentinians.
They love Disney. So we haven't seen, I guess the past few times we've been, pre-pandemic.
Holy cow. We would go every September, and it was like crazy. How many Argentinians and Brazilians would be there.
Yeah.
Tons.
I bet you they would appreciate a park down there.
And I bet it would do very, very, very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would.
Anyway. All right. Well, great show. Nice little sidewalk talk.
Little
hanging out. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, we'd love to hear your feedback. If you follow us on Apple Podcasts or any of our social media accounts, we'd love to hear from you.
And Spotify, leave us a comment.
Yeah. Love it.
Until next week.
Later.